For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc. Tuesday, May the 14th. Ian Cameron, and look who's back in the his house. It's Matt Robinson after a week in Vegas last week, back in his regular Tuesday spot on the show. And joining both of us today is the other Robinson, brother Robinson, Ryan, back with us after doing a nice job last week for us when both Matt and Alex were away. And he's back with us. And we said we might do this at some point, and we figured, well, let's do it today. Ryan's available. Matt's back in the house. The first ever Robinson & Robinson edition, the law firm edition of the Ice Guys show. Matt, we'll start with you. Welcome back from Las Vegas. I heard that was a rocky trip, certainly from a work standpoint, but you ended it with some nice, enjoyable evenings, betting and going to the bar, watching some hockey. So at least it ended on a good note, but you're back, and I know you missed being on this show, and you missed the Ice Guys fam.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a long week in Vegas, a lot of work, long days. Just those trade shows. I mean, you're up early prepping because we were a vendor there, so we've got to get our booth set up and the technology side set up and all that fun stuff. So it was a lot. My feet are still hurting. My back's still sore, but yeah, it was nice. The last night I was there was Thursday, so obviously a Stars-Avs game was on. Dallas got the win. Was able to enjoy it with one of my buddies from high school that actually lives out in Vegas. So it was good. And yeah, definitely glad to be back in the swing of things and excited to be back on the show.
No, as well. Ryan did a great job last week filling in, joining us on the Daily Show for the first time. Ryan, good to have you back. Ready to rejoin us again today and looking forward to this card, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun last time. Had a lot of success, so looking forward to talking hockey with you guys. It's always fun being on and excited for the BetCast later as well. That'll be fun. So big day of hockey, two massive games. So excited to recap last night's games and then break those down also.
No question. Yeah, we're looking forward to the BetCast tonight. Patreon exclusive live BetCast tonight. Again, this one is Patreon exclusive. So again, make sure you sign up $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. There it is right on the screen. Tonight's Patreon exclusive live BetCast. So there it is. Tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, $10 per month to watch and to join us on the BetCast tonight. I'm hearing, too, from our good friend Jordan Sambrook, now on to the conference finals in the ECHL Kelly Cup playoffs. He might be stopping in on the BetCast for a bit tonight. So with this Florida Everblades, man, they're like the New England Patriots of the ECHL right now. They're looking for like a three-peat, if I'm not mistaken, as far as ECHL championships are concerned. So Jordan might be stopping in tonight. Carter Hutton might be joining us again tonight. So, again, we've got potential guests on the way. course, our regular crew. So again, 7 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you join us tonight. Patreon exclusive Ice Guys live betcast. $10 per month to join the betcast tonight and to tune in and watch it. So again, check that out. Sign up patreon.com/iceguys. Definitely looking forward to that tonight. Let's look back at last night. It started with the Rangers and the Hurricanes. A second opportunity for the New York Rangers to finish off the Carolina Hurricanes and close out that series. And a second opportunity slips through their fingers. And now they've got a sweat on their hands. And now some anxiety. And now some of, well, let's just put it this way. And I said this after the game ended last night. A very long 72 hours in store for the New York Rangers and their fan base. And, of course, our biggest Rangers fan and our Ice Guys fam, John Massey, who probably figures at this point Rangers wouldn't have it any other way but make it difficult on themselves. But credit to Carolina. Even when they were down 1-0 after the second period, you know, Jacob Trouba gets the shorthanded goal. It looked like the Rangers had snatched momentum. At no point in those first two periods did it look like the Rangers played well. You know, they were bobbling pucks, their own power play, which was red hot in the Washington series, which was absolutely destroying Carolina and lighting them up early in the series, has suddenly gone into the shits here in the last two games, that Rangers power play. They're not in sync. I think Carolina's made some good defensive adjustments on the penalty kill to thwart that Rangers power play. You got to give Rod Brind'Amour and his coaching staff credit for that. And more importantly, look, Carolina in the third period took advantage of a Rangers team that I don't know if they got tight. I mean, they shouldn't have been tight. They should have gone out there and really take the game to Carolina. You're up 1-0. You're 20 minutes away from ending the series. And instead, they looked tight. They didn't manage the puck. They were giving it away. Breakdowns galore. It's funny. Funny moment during the game last night. John Massey has been critical of Jacob Trouba in this series defensively, especially in game 4. In Carolina when he had and he did have a bad night. It was not a good night for him. He scores the shorthanded goal, and I basically say to John in our DM, you know, that's enough with the Trouba hate, man. You just scored a big shorthanded goal to get you boys going and give you the 1-0 lead. Well, sure enough, he was responsible for one of the Carolina goals in the third period. Terrible turnover behind the net resulted in a Carolina goal, and I'm like, all right, you can be mad again at Jacob Trouba. But really, just give Carolina credit. It all started with the captain. I thought that was one of the best games I've seen out of Jordan Staal in quite some time. What a great power move. Takes it to the backhand, beats an outstretched Igor Shesterkin for the goal that got that game tied. And then after that, what followed, look, another big goal from the Birdman, Evgeny Kuznetsov, last night, who was the last couple games showing how great it was they got him on this team from Washington. He ends up giving them the 2-1 lead. Jordan Martinuk follows right after that. And shout out to who was a great guest yesterday on the show, Andy Mealy, the former Hobie Baker winner. Andy Mealy with a great call there. Jordan Martinuk plus 570 to score a goal for the Carolina Hurricanes. That was his bargain bin special of the night. He makes it 3-1, and then the Hurricanes put it away into the empty net, and they just dominated the third period. And for the Rangers, I understand why Rangers fans have anxiety. That was not a step on their neck. That was not a killer instinct display by any stretch of the imagination. That was a Rangers team that looked a little tight, and now their fans are tight, you know, as a result of that, because now we see this, that we see what they did not want to see if you're a Ranger fan. Going back to Raleigh for game 6, that building is going to be rocking. You know that. The Canes fans, the Caniacs that are going to be in that building on Thursday night, they are going to feel like, hey, we're right back in the series. We win on home ice here, and we go back to game 7 at Madison Square Garden. And we know damn well who the pressure's on in game 7 in this series. It ain't the team that that was down 3-0. It's going to be the team that had a 3-0 lead and might be on the verge of seeing it slip away. So, you know, for the Rangers, you can't be in one of these spots Thursday night where, okay, we got game 7 in our back pocket. We can rest on our laurels and get. I know I was critical of Dallas a little bit for that in the first round against Vegas, where game 6, they could have ended that series. I'm like, why screw around with game 7? Well, the difference is the Rangers, they don't have an 8-0 Peter DeBoer in their back pocket in game 7 this time around. So, and keep in mind, too, Dallas, too, in the game 7s, like I said, has a strong track record. You go back and look at the Rangers, not as strong of a track record in recent years in these game 7s. So Game six is imperative for the Rangers. I know it's on the road. It's not going to be easy. But you got to do everything in your power to close that shit out, you know, in game six Thursday night, because game seven, we know who's going to be feeling it the most as far as pressure to get the job done if it gets that far. Matt, we'll start with you on that one. What did you think, Hurricanes Rangers? I think you are a proponent of just seeing more hockey in that series, like many of us. And I know we're happy that we're getting at least another game.
Yeah, no doubt. The longer the series, the better, especially in the Eastern Conference. I think there's three teams that are high caliber contenders. So the more they beat each other up, the better. I've got a good amount of friends that are Ranger fans. I know our friend John Massey, and then I've got a couple buddies as well. But then I've also, you know, got the Stephen Nason angle, so I wouldn't mind seeing him make a little run. I go back and forth on who scares me more if Dallas was to advance and then, you know, play one of these teams. I think New York definitely has the better goaltender, but I think that third period showed that Igor is human. I
think he's wearing down. I'll just put this out there. I forgot to mention. I think he's getting some fatigue setting in. He's faced a shit ton of rubber and shots, and he's had so much pucks thrown at him. Like, at some point, it's got to wear on him a little bit physically as far as fatigue. And I saw some fatigue mistakes, Maddie, out of Igor last night. That rebound that he spit out on one of the goals, that's not an Igor Shesterkin rebound when he's on his game. That's not something you expect. I think he did show some fatigue in that third period. I really do.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, that stall goal, I knew that was coming at some point. He, you know, he played the best game I've seen him play maybe in a few years, but so it was well-deserved to get that first one. But, yeah, it was, I mean, there's another thing in the playoffs. There's been some tough calls both ways. So, I mean, I have some Rangers fans upset at some of the calls, and I don't disagree with them. But, yeah, overall, just excited to see that series extend. I know now John Massey is worried going back to Carolina. Carolina is a tough place to win. And then game seven, you know, who the fuck knows what happens. So, I thought it was a good game. It was one of those games where I felt like Carolina was going to get the next one a lot of the second period and into the third. And, you know, they ended up rattling off a few. So, we'll see. Excited for, I think, game six is Thursday night. So that'll be another BetCast night. So, I'll be excited to watch that one.
Yeah, you can say it there, Russell. I think it was Russell, yeah. Russell Deck. And look, they've had a great playoffs overall, these two guys for the Rangers, Mika Zibanejad and Artemi Panarin. But let's call it like we see it. You couldn't find them with a telescope on the ice last night. They were dog shit. Absolute horrendous performance from both of those guys last night. And look, they should be called out. We know they're better than that. We know they have to be better than that. And it's now up to them to be better in game six. They were horrendous last night, those two in particular. Panarin, I don't know. Was there one impact he made on the game last night? One? I don't think so. Not at all from what I saw. Ryan, what did you think? Rangers making this a series. Carolina, I should say, making this a series.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive on their end. Obviously, they kind of hung around for a bit. It was 1-0 Rangers after that Trouba goal. But they kind of hung around and they stuck in there, and you could kind of feel it building at times. You know, the New York wasn't really getting in clean too much or getting any, many grade A looks. That Jordan Staal goal is, you know, very impressive. It looked like prime Jordan Staal when he was on the Penguins. Obviously, like you mentioned, it's frustrating if you're a Rangers fan, Panarin and those guys couldn't step up and deliver late in the third, but it's good if you're a Canes fan. I mean, they showed that there's no quit in their game. They bounced back. That was the biggest period of the season for them. Obviously, it was do or die, and they showed up. And now they get to go home to a rocking. I don't know if it's PNC Arena still or whatever, but that's a wild place. I was just impressed that they, didn't fold in the third period, didn't quit. They kept after it. Even when Shesterkin was making some nice saves early on, like you mentioned, he's faced a lot of rubber. The Canes didn't pack it in. They stayed aggressive, and I think that's what I was most impressed with, is just they kept fighting. Even going into that third, they had two options, roll over and die or come out firing. And that's certainly what they did. So I thought it was a really impressive win. Looking forward to game six and seeing if they can do it again. But at the end of the day, I just, as Matt mentioned, I want more hockey. So, you know, it's great, great game to watch.
Yep. We all want more games, and especially that series. Let's be real. After the first three games, when it was 3-0 Rangers, didn't feel like a true 3-0 series. Carolina deserved a little better than that. And now we're starting to see them, you know, back in the series, and this be a close series like it probably should have been. Because, look, the Rangers found ways to win, but it's not like they've been crushing Carolina in the first three games. Carolina's power play was a disaster. The Rangers' own power play was really ripping up Carolina. Now things have changed a little bit. Now, Carolina got their first power play goal in game four over the weekend to win that game. The Rangers' power play finally looked, well, not just bad, very bad last night, quite honestly. And, you know, the table's turning a little bit as far as the special teams are concerned. And like I said, Shesterkin now two games in a row. They punctured the armor a little bit of this guy, Carolina. So a great game six Thursday night. Can't wait for that. That's another BetCast night. So for Patreon exclusive members. So looking forward to that. And the other game last night, Dallas and Colorado, the shit hit the fan about a minute before or an hour, I should say, before puck drop. And look, if, so that's why, you know, it took me aback. I did buy out a Colorado team total over a little bit before the game. But unfortunately, when we were on the air, I said, you know, I really thought it was a good Colorado spot. It's one of those things, short-term pain for long-term gain is what I'm hoping that game turns out to be last night, where short-term pain is, look, bad decision to go ahead with Colorado. But at the time, we never knew, you know, what was about to go down. And what went down was, well, first of all, the smaller part of the news was Devon Taves being out with an illness, which is huge. He's their next best defenseman after Makar. But the big news is obviously big Val Nichushkin with a big fuck-up, apparently. Again, sewering his team, sewering, you know, an opportunity maybe to make a deep playoff run this year. A six-month suspension minimum for violating the player assistance program. There's rumblings that it was he failed a drug test. He's been, you know, involved in all those banned substances. And there's also been rumblings. There's been some shit going on behind the scenes, going back to the Seattle incident last year, that maybe there's some, I don't know. Just these are rumblings. There's ties maybe to some Russian mob or something. Like, there's just all kinds of things floating out there right now about Valeri Nichushkin. Bottom line is, whatever it is, whether it's one thing or the other or a combination of both of those things causing this suspension, his life is in shambles off the ice right now. And he's got to clean himself up. And it's a sad situation. We certainly wish him well. I mean, whatever he's going through, it's not good. And, you know, addiction and anything like that is not a good thing. And you feel bad for him. I actually posted something that a Colorado post-game show radio host said after the game last night, that and he nailed the thing totally. I mean, you feel bad for him. You feel for the person that's going through these issues off the ice. But at the same time, this is now the second time this man is fucked up. He was given a second chance and he pissed it away again. And what he's also done is this is a team that's got Stanley Cup aspirations. They made a ton of moves at the deadline to compete for a Stanley Cup. You're playing against the number one seed in the Western Conference. To me, the best team in the West coming into the playoffs, the Dallas Stars. To beat them, you have to have everyone on board, everyone rowing the boat in the same direction. You can't have a situation where someone is getting caught up in shit going on off the ice, where they put themselves in this spot. And not only did Val put himself in this spot, it cost his teammates. And you can see, because he's just not some average player. This is up front, you know, after McKinnon, maybe after Rantanen. And I don't know if I'd even say that now, because I don't think Rantanen's had a particularly good series, quite honestly. I mean, what the fuck did he do last night? At least McKinnon is, you know, throwing every puck on net. I'm seeing him, and he didn't have a great game either last night. But what did Rantanen do in that game last night? Nothing. In my opinion, you could argue that he's even ahead of Rantanen as far as his importance to this team, Valeri Nichushkin, with how he's played. And now he's gone. You find out just before puck drop and you realize that it's because he fucked up again and got himself in a position to get suspended again when you need him out there. And you could tell it hit Colorado like a ton of bricks. You know, emotionally, they couldn't believe what's just happened, that he's, you know, and they played like it last night. I mean, clearly it affected them. Do you think Colorado, if Val Nichushkin's not getting that suspension and that news isn't coming down an hour before puck drop, that they're going to get outshot 17-2 at one point in that hockey game? That's not a chance of that happening. Not a chance. And look, Dallas could still have been the better team and outplayed them early. Not to that extent, you know, if this announcement hadn't been made. But, you know, you look at the Colorado, it threw them for a loop. And credit to Dallas, they were not sympathetic at all. You know, they played their game. They took it to Colorado early. If not for Georgiev, it's shocking. That's how bad it was for Colorado early and how shook they were. He was their best player. A goaltender that people have just ripped apart from pillar to post most of the season, and especially in the playoffs. And yet that game is already in the first period, probably 3-4 Dallas, if not for Alexander Georgiev, you know. And yes, did they show some signs of life, a little pulse? I think when they got down 3-0, 3-1, you saw a little pushback from Colorado. It looked like it was going to get interesting a bit. But Dallas, again, had a great clinical third period defensively on the road, much like we saw in game three. They put their foot down, and they end up making it 4-1. That ended up being a huge goal, and it pretty much sucked the life out of the Avs all over again and the building, and put that game away. And they end up, of course, with the 5-1 win when it's all said and done. So it was just a debilitating night for Colorado. Look, it's fourth win is the toughest win to get. We know that. I would expect Colorado to push back strong in game five. I do, even with this shit floating around. But I think this mental and emotional hurdle of this, you know, just blockbuster news and this horrendous development for them with Big Val getting suspended is just, I think it's going to be too much to overcome for the Colorado Avalanche. I really do. And I think now for Dallas, don't just say, you know what, this team looks broken. We crushed them tonight. We're going to go back and it's going to be easy street now in game five. Don't have that mentality. And I'm sure Peter DeBoer is smart enough. If I'm smart enough to say this, I'm sure Peter DeBoer is smart enough to think this as well. Go out there and have that killer instinct. Go out there and step on the fucking throat of this Colorado team in game five. Don't give them any belief. Don't fuck around if you're Dallas. Get it done, you know, in game five coming up. You know, don't make an unnecessary, worrisome trip back to Denver, even though you're one hell of a road team and they could easily win a game six in Denver. Don't do that. You know, end it. You've got this team down against the ropes. Be that boxer that goes for the knockout blow, the knockout punch in game five. That's got to be the mindset for Dallas going into game five of that series. And then from a Dallas standpoint, like, great performances all around, starting with Wyatt Johnston. Happy birthday, Wyatt Johnston. You're finally of age to drink a fucking beer down there in the United States. It's about damn time. I hope somebody, maybe the captain, because he's the captain, Jamie Benn, bought you a beer in some Denver hotel bar or some shit, you know, after the game last night, or you had one up at home. I don't know, but get that in you. You deserve it. What an incredible performance, and two goals last night and a chance for a hat trick. And the guy thinks so much of his team, and he's such a team player and such a team guy. He said, screw the hat trick. We got a chance for a wide open net if I pass it to my buddy here, Sammy Steele, and he threw it into the empty net. If that doesn't show you that this guy's all about the team and all about winning and the logo on the front of the jersey and the Dallas Stars, nothing will. Incredible stuff. You talk about selflessness. You talk about not being selfish. You talk about doing things to the team, to help the team, instead of individual accolades. Nothing will show it more than what Wyatt Johnston did there at the end with that pass to Sam Steele in the empty net. He could have gotten his cookie. He could have gotten his hat trick on the road. He said, nah, you know, there was a Colorado player in between him and the empty net. You know, if I shoot the puck, maybe it's getting blocked. I've got Sam Steele here to the right. He's got a clear path to the net and clear shot at an open net. Nobody in front of him. And he made that play. Just incredible. I mean, we love the kid already, you know, and I'm not even a Dallas Stars fan. These two, of course, clearly love some Wyatt Johnston. But what he did last night was just spectacular. It just shows you what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about I. It's about the team. What a job by Wyatt Johnston. What a job by the team. Ottinger made the saves when he had to. It's a great defensive performance. Tanev continues to be a pillar of strength on the back end for this team, and a big-time Dallas victory to put themselves one win away from the Western Conference Finals for the second consecutive season. A happy day to be the Brothers Robinson. We'll start with Matt.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, you got into it pretty deep. I won't spend too much time on it, but the Val news was pretty hard hitting. You know, at the end of the day, I want every advantage to go Dallas's way, but you don't want to win a series because of somebody dealing with substance issues. So I wish him well. I was able to meet him quite a few times when he was in Dallas. One of Ryan's friends, actually, he lived with one of Ryan's friends his first year there. And I've got a couple of buddies that are Russian that all the Russians, when they're in the States, hang out together. So he's a good dude. I wish him the best. I think it's unfortunate for the team. But, you know, it is what it is. And now they're going back to Dallas game five, and they've got to find a way to dig deeper or, you know, roll over. And there's a couple of good golf courses near the AAC they can catch around on Thursday morning if they want. But no, to get into the game, I mean, I obviously there was some effect on the situation. The Avs did get Duran back, and, you know, Taze dropped out late, you know, minutes before the game. I mean, I don't know how early they knew. But yeah. So I think Dallas, you know, again, they didn't hold back. They didn't feel bad. They couldn't control what was going on in the other locker room, and they came out and played like it. I saw a lot of tweets and things that said, oh, the Avs suck. They're playing horrible. And I always am going to side with my team, but I feel like Dallas, that was the fastest I've seen them play maybe all season. They were jumping on pucks. Pavelski finally looked a little better. You know, he's not prime Joe Pavelski, but I thought he made some plays that I haven't seen him make all playoffs. You know, they were just all over him. And I mean, they only ended up with one goal. I know John Massey was like, oh, that's the Rangers curse. You know, they should have got more. And, but, you know, they turned it on in the second period. They're just so defensively strong that this series, they haven't been trailing for a second of the whole series. They lost that one game in overtime, but they've had the lead the entire series or been tied, obviously.
Haven't given up a goal. And they really can shut teams either. Down.
I know, which is wild. Last series, it was all about Jake Ottinger in the third. In this series, he's been lights out in the first and a lot of the thirds, for that matter. He's given up a couple in those comeback games. But, yeah, he's played well down the stretch. He played unbelievable last night. I think that was maybe his best game of the playoffs. Colorado did have their chances, and he came up big when he had to. I think I agree with you. They got that first goal to kind of, you know, make it 3-1, make it still a game. They had a couple shifts here and there, but Callahan on the broadcast mentioned it. They were just like, they'd have one really good shift, and then Dallas would be back in the ozone for two shifts. And then they'd have one good shift where you got to kind of get a couple shifts in a row. There were a lot of whistles to start the third period and things like that, which played into Dallas's favor. They could stay fresh. You know, they had the short bench. Hintz left pretty much after the first. They had some time with Smith gone. Tanev there towards the end. So, yeah, looking ahead, obviously it was a great game. I think, you know, the biggest thing is getting the win tomorrow because, you know, the second you give Colorado life, heading back to Denver, maybe they wake up a little bit. You know, maybe they get Taze back tomorrow night or even on Friday. So I think you've got to kind of step on their throats in the series, especially given the fact that Dallas had to go the distance with Vegas. You know, maybe Edmonton ties it up tonight. You know, if Dallas can get that win, you know, you're guaranteed 4 or 5 days off for a guy like Hintz, a guy like Tanev. You know, there's other guys in the room with bumps and bruises. Maybe Pavelski gets a little rest and comes back better. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I think they've got everything they need to get it done. Obviously, they've lost some games at home in this playoffs, but I just think they're in kind of that form of like, hey, we're really going to make a run. They've got Robertson laying guys out, you know, blocking shots. They've got Hintz laying out for block shots. Duchesne, that play where he skated all the way into the ozone with no stick, just kicking it up and then took a knee. You know, things like that are things you like to see this time of year. And I think they mentioned it on the broadcast, but you can tell every player on that team is bought in. And I love to see Sam Steele, you know, get the monkey off his back. He's had tons of chances this playoff, so it was nice to see him pocket one. Would have loved a Wyatt Johnson hat trick. But we talked about it last night. I think that just shows that he's such a team player, and I think he's going to be the next captain of the Dallas Stars after Jamie Benn decides to hang him up. So, yeah, looking forward to tomorrow night, and hopefully they get it done so they can get a few days off and get back in for the Western Conference Finals again this year.
Yeah, you said it, that because they went 7 against Vegas, it would behoove them to end this series sooner rather than later, no doubt. Ryan, another happy Robinson after a big Dallas win last night. I'm sure you enjoyed it. What were your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, it just kind of felt like from the start that was a Dallas game. You know, that's kind of been since after game one, they've kind of weathered the storm in the first few minutes, pushed back a little bit. Georgiev's made some good saves at times, but then, you know, they throw the first punch, they get up one, kind of depletes the Avs, and then they just build on that. And they showed in, game three, as well as last night, if they give up a goal, it doesn't matter. If it becomes a tie game again, or if they're up one, they seem to just get right back on the horse and go at it. So it's been really impressive seeing that aspect of it. I said this, before the series, I remember I was talking to someone, I can't remember if it was Betcast or something, but I almost, as a Stars fan, would have rather played Colorado than Winnipeg. I just think that Winnipeg has a bit more depth. Colorado, I said from the start that if you can really shut down McKinnon, Rantanen, and McCarr, it's obviously easier said than done. But Dallas has done a tremendous job of that, and it just shows, that Dallas depth of Sagan and Dodonov and Sam Steele and, Hintz finally looking better. Pavelski, as Matt mentioned, I just think that Dallas depth is too much to handle for Colorado overall. And you definitely saw that on display last night. When Wyatt Johnson's playing like he is, it's hard to bet against him. So it's a lot of fun to watch. I was really impressed and just with that defense, if they get up a goal or two, it's, they know how to play. They've shown last series as well as outside of game one of this series that they can close out a game in the third. And so, that was kind of another narrative this year that the Stars can't close out a game if they're up a couple goals. We saw it late in the season against Florida. So it's finally nice to see that they're, coming together, closing out games, one goal, two goal, doesn't matter. They're all buying in, and I was really impressed from top to bottom as a Dallas fan. That was a huge win. I know a lot of people were on Colorado in a good bounce back spot. Obviously, didn't know all the stuff that was going to happen between McCarr or Nichushkin. And
I wouldn't have had a penny on Colorado last night if I knew that at like early in the day that what was going to go down. I mean, that was just
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely devastating for them, as Matt mentioned. Val lived with one of my teammates, so I played Xbox with him. I was around him. He was a really good dude. So I feel for him as a human. Tough for Colorado. Obviously, it's like he's letting his team down a bit for the second year in a row. But I love Dallas game. I could not be more happy with, two big road wins. As Matt mentioned, I think it's important to go close it out. I think the Avs are, they're not going to roll over and die, but everything's in Dallas' favor right now. You're going back home, your goalie's hot, Colorado's missing key players, so it's important that they close it out in a pivotal game five and don't have to go back. But just really, really great effort last night overall, top to bottom.
I was the only bit of contention too and frustration I have is Nathan McKinnon. I had over 4.5 shots. Ends with 4. Tyler Seguin, we were talking about it. He's been just on this great over shots on goal run. He falls short with 2. And I said, watch this be the night that he ends up falling short. And that's exactly what happened. He just had 2 shots on goal last night. So a couple of those shots on goal prop losses for me were very frustrating there last night in that game. But shout out to, the Dallas for a great job. The Rangers Hurricanes, the one thing I forgot to say about that is because of that game now going to game 6, Alex and I, we both jumped on Canes and the Rangers to win the series 3-2 or 4-2 or 4-3, both teams, Rangers and Hurricanes. We took Carolina to win 4-2, Carolina to win 4-3, Rangers to win 4-2, Rangers to win 4-3, and we both had the series to go 6 and 7 games. So we're getting profit out of the 6-7 game series props, and we're hitting one of those four exact series results, which is going to be profit as well. So because of the prices you're getting with it. So we're going to get profit with that. And we said that right before that series, that it would be a long series. It was not looking good when it was Rangers 3-0, but we are going to get there with those. Someone's winning 4-2 or 4-3, and obviously the series is going 6 or 7. So a great result there for Alex and I, that we're going to get the plus money on those props for the Rangers Hurricane.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Series. All right, let's get to game one. Sorry, not game one. What am I? That's the wrong headline here. Let's go up. Wrong label. There we go. Game five. Boston Bruins, Florida Panthers, -210 Florida, home favorites as they look to close out this series. 5.5 the total. I'm just going to run back what I did the other night. That's it. So I'm not going to belabor the analysis here. A lot of these games, you know, we're into the fifth game, and I seem to say the same shit, you know, about most of these games in these series, and the same approach or similar approach. For me, I'm going to take Boston in the first period money line, Boston to score in the first period, -110. But I'm also going to take a piece for the full game, pregame, of Florida team total over, Florida puck line in this game. I really feel it could be one of those games where it's Boston early, Florida late, just like game four in Boston. And look, Bruins' backs are against the wall. They have to start strong. There's no other option, because they might still lose this game if they get the lead early. They're damn sure losing this game if they fall behind early. So you've got to look at it as Boston's got to come out strong. I do expect they will. There's enough pride on this group to do that, even on the road. So for me, it's Boston early, Florida late. So I'm going to go Boston to score in the first. It's a very cheap price. Boston just to score a goal in the first period is -110. So it's a very cheap price. Boston first period money line, and then I'm going to also take pregame Florida team total over, Florida puck line, because I like doing that in an elimination game where the home team's looking to close it out, because you know the net could be empty early. There'll be opportunities for the empty net for the Panthers in the third if they are ahead. So that, and I'm also going to sprinkle on the full game over 5.5 pregame, just the full game, and because, again, this is an elimination game, and shit can hit the fan from an offensive standpoint late in the game if Florida's leading. But with this being a betcast, it's going to be small on the full game over pregame. We're going to launch on the third period over, or some kind of live over, late second period, early third period, based on the way the score is, especially if Florida's ahead. That's the approach for me. Matt, we'll start with you. Game five, Boston, Florida.
Yeah, so I all these bets are pretty small, as you mentioned. I'm excited for some live betting tonight. I'm on Florida here. I'm on the puck line and the team total over 3.5. I just think that they are the better team. I think, you know, the Marchand stuff is obviously a factor. I just think it's one of those years, like, this isn't Boston's year. I think they're the weakest team left in the East. I honestly didn't think they were that great coming into the playoffs. You know, their record showed that they were, and they've got great goaltending, which is obviously, you know, a big factor. But I just think Florida is one of the scariest teams, if not the scariest team in the NHL right now. And I think they're going home prep to close this out. So I think Florida wins it tonight. I'm taking the puck line and the team total over. And then I also will be on the full game over at 5.5. Again, just smaller bets so that live, if, you know, we get 10 minutes in and there's no goals, then we can hammer the over at 4.5 or maybe 5 perhaps.
Yep, great approach. Everything to me, yep, small pregame with the Boston first period money line and to score in the first plus the Florida team total over for the game 3.5 at a pretty good price, by the way, with that team total over for the Panthers as well, plus the full game over and the Florida puck line and the full game over as well. Yeah, the Florida team total plus 116 at Pinnacle. Nice price with that. Ryan, what are you doing with this one? Bruins Panthers.
Yeah, like you guys, I'm going to wait mostly until we see, you know, live. But there is some stuff I like. I know Alex has done this before. MGM has empty net goal anytime, plus 130. That's pretty good value. You got to think, you know, no matter what team is up, as long as it's not going to overtime, there's going to be empty net opportunities with, you know, especially if Boston is down. You know, they could pull the goalie, you know, multiple times with, you know, 3 or 4 minutes left to try and get back in the game. You can also pick a side. I think Florida is like plus 260 for an empty net. Boston's like plus 400, plus 450 something. There's a couple player props that I'll get into in a little bit later on, but, yeah, I really like Florida team total over 3.5. I kind of agree with Matt that they want to close this out at home. They smell blood in the water, especially with the Rangers Kane series. You know, if they close it out tonight, they might get a little bit of extra rest. Kachuk's shots on goal prop is good. He had, you know, 7 last game. And then also Pastrnak, I think, might not be a horrible look. You know, anytime a team's back is against the wall, especially in the playoffs, you know, taking their best players, their best goal scorers, you know, shot prop or goal prop is never a bad idea. They're going to be throwing everything at the net, I think, you know, trying to gut it out however they can. Greasy goals doesn't matter. So I think he's going to be shooting the puck. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to you know, watch for some live looks, you know, see how the first 5 minutes of the game, first 10 minutes go, see who dictates the pace of play. But I like that empty net. I like, you know, the team total. And if you like Boston, if you think Boston's going to, you know, squeak one out, their team total, I saw over 2.5 is like plus 110 or 120, which is a pretty good price too, depending on what side you like. But yeah, those shot props, I'm going to look at the team total, and then I'm going to be looking at some Matthew Tkachuk props, you know, getting never a bad look with the captain to get his team started in a, you know, potential closeout game. So there's a few things I like, but mostly just waiting to see, you know, what happens live.
Absolutely. Yeah, not a bad approach for a game like this, especially when we're on a BetCast. Tonight we'll be able to really pick apart this game more live than, you know, just unload pregame on it. That's definitely the way to go. Look, Landon in the chat. Oh, by the way, Landon, I got your email asking for the StreamYard link tonight for the BetCast. So it sounds like Landon's going to be in the house for a portion of the BetCast tonight on Patreon. So again, Patreon exclusive live BetCast tonight. Make sure you sign up. The only way to access it, to watch it, to join us is to sign up there, patreon.com/iceguys. And I agree with the Tkachuk props. Shots on goal makes sense for me. And plus, Florida's a very high volume. Well, they've been high volume shooting the puck the last few games in this series because they've been bombarding Boston with shots. You know, Swayman over saves, probably worth a look. You know, anything Florida as far as shots on goal, but especially Tkachuk, no doubt worth a look as far as that's concerned. Reinhardt, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe. Think about those guys more than anything. Maybe a little Montour, because Montour seems to chip in against Boston. Those are all props that are worth a look there for them. And yet for Boston, it would be Pastrnak, maybe Geeky. But it's really hard, you know, after that to find. Maybe Carlo, you know, if you want to take like a little bargain bin type shot. Brandon Carlo is the one fucking guy on the blue line that's shooting the puck. And he has scored now a couple of games in this series. for the Bruins. So maybe a Brandon Carlo stab in the dark as far as a player prop and a goal prop tonight. All right, the second game of this doubleheader tonight, West Game 4, Vancouver-Edmonton. Oilers minus 200 home favorites, 6.5 the total. Vancouver leading 2-1. That was a great game for me the other night, Game 3. We had Vancouver money line, Vancouver to score in the first. We had the over trifecta. Pretty much everything hit in this game on Sunday. I like Vancouver. And I still stand by the sentiment going into Game 4 tonight that from a full game money line standpoint, this is too rich of a price on Edmonton. You know, they are not minus 200 better than Vancouver right now. Not the way this series has gone. Not the way Vancouver's defended. Vancouver's power play has been very solid, you know, and we know Edmonton's power play is lethal, but Vancouver's power play's chipped in. They've been largely the better team 5-on-5 more often than not in the series. So at minus 200, to me, if I'm betting the full game money line, I'm taking Vancouver again. But I do have a feeling in the pit of my stomach here tonight in this game that we're going to see Edmonton rally around the goaltending change. Of course, that's the headline story going into Game 4 tonight. Chris Knobloch making the switch, sitting down Skinner for the Oilers and going with Calvin Pickard for his first ever. You talk about a pressure cooker for what's been a journeyman goaltender for his entire NHL career. He's been bounced around from one organization to the next. And here's Calvin Pickard at long last, making his first start in an NHL Stanley Cup playoff game. And look where in the spot he's got to do it. With his team down 2-1 and maybe just about out of this series if they lose tonight. So you talk about putting a big, big task in front of Calvin Pickard tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. That's going to end up being interesting to see how it goes. The bets that I like the most in this game, I'm not crazy about the side either way. It feels like Edmonton could rally around this kid. Well, I shouldn't say a kid. He's 32 years old, as Rich H says, but he rally around this guy. And there's been times he's played well this season for Edmonton, but there's also been times he hasn't played so well. So that's the thing. I mean, but at the same point in time, if you're comparing what they might get from Pickard tonight to what they've gotten so far from Skinner in this series, it's hard not to envision them seeing better goaltending tonight from Pickard. Because that's how bad it's been for Skinner. He is not stopping routine shots. He's been off his angle. He's been giving up some soft goals. The Zadorov goal in Vancouver, we remember when it was the reverse VH that's been driving Henrik Lundqvist on the TNT panel nuts, seeing goaltenders do that shit over and over again. So, you know, definitely to me, you know, Pickard might be decent tonight. Not great, but decent. It still could be better than what Skinner's given you in between the pipes so far in this series. But no, I'm just running back the same bet that I've had, I think, in every game in this series in the first three over trifecta. You know, first period over, first period both teams to score, full game over. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's hit every game in this series. So that's what I'm going to look at. Let me just say this. If you like Edmonton tonight, take the team total over 3.5. Don't screw around with minus 200. I could see them honestly losing 5-4 tonight. It could happen. They could score 4 and still lose. But I guarantee you, if they're going to win this game, they're probably going to score at least 4. That's usually the Edmonton way of doing things. They win the game, they usually score at least 4 goals. So if you like Edmonton tonight, take the team total over 3.5. You know what I might do? I might sprinkle on Edmonton team total over 3.5. I lean that way, but also take a little Vancouver money line. It wouldn't be crazy for me 5-4 Vancouver tonight. Like, Edmonton gets the 4 goals they need for the team total, and they give up 5 against this Vancouver team. So I might dabble in both. Primarily what I like tonight is the over trifecta again. Matt's got to run in a few minutes, so we'll go right to him here with Vancouver-Edmonton game 4. Matt, what do you think here?
Yeah, so this is sort of similar to the Dallas-Colorado game 4, where you were leaning Colorado. Obviously, there was some big news prior to puck drop. So assuming that there's no drama in this one, I think I lean Edmonton here. Sorry to Rich H. I do want this series to go the distance, you know, having a team in the other side of the West. But I really do think it's an Edmonton spot. I don't see them losing twice at home in this series. I would expect a big push from their best players. You know, as far as betting goes, I'm going to do a little first period Edmonton goal ladder of 1, 1.5, and 2. Over 2 goals for Edmonton in the first is like plus 550. again, if you just get to the two, then you get your money back, no harm, no foul. But I could see them trying to come out and score two or three quick ones, you know, really win this game handily and then head to Vancouver with an even series. So that's one play. I'm definitely on the over trifecta as well. So the first period over, the both teams to score and the game over. And then I am on that Edmonton team total over 3.5. Again, all of these are pretty minimal bets, nothing huge, just because I'm excited to watch this and maybe get some live action. And I know, you know, when you take an over, like a first period over 1.5, you put a little bit on pregame in case there's that one goal that happens in the first 30 seconds. But on the off chance there's no goals in the first 4 or 5 minutes, then you can double down, get a better price, and then if it hits, you know, you really feel good about it. So, yeah, those are going to be my plays for this one.
Yeah. I definitely, you know what I do is, because like I say, I'm staying away from minus 200. You don't want to deal with that, in my opinion, if you like Edmonton. There's better methods. The team total is a good look. I think what Matt's doing is very creative, and it's great value if it hits. I mean, the over 2 in the first period, plus 550 team total, you know, for Edmonton in case they really start strong. And the Edmonton puck line, I think, is in the first period is not bad. You know, the minus a half, you'll get a good plus price on that. So I think that probably is, because you got to expect Edmonton in the first 20, you know, is going to be ready to rock and really dialed in and looking to get a fast start, maybe a little bolstered by the goaltending change, a little spark for the boys, you know, going to Pickard and really try to rally around him, get him a lead early, that kind of thing. So that first period puck line for Edmonton might be live. But again, with all that being said, Edmonton first period puck line, strong start. Team total in the first period, maybe the full game team total over. I like all of those, but I still might dabble in Vancouver plus 170, because as far as the full game is concerned, to me, that's where the value continues to be with the Vancouver Canucks as far as the full game money line, and hope for a 5-4 game for Vancouver. And we hit everything, you know, and Edmonton has the strong start and the team total still goes over and Vancouver wins and we hit everything. It's a weird way to go about it, but you got to be creative, you know, at playoff time. Matt's got to run, so Matt, quickly before you head out, bargain bin special of the night for you, and then best bet. We'll start with the bargain bin. What do you like?
Yeah, so for my bargain bin tonight, Boston fans aren't going to love this. It's enemy number one. I'm going to take Sam Bennett anytime goal scorer. It's been such a wild series. They talked about this on the ESPN broadcast last night. When you're public enemy number one, it usually means you've had a good series. Obviously, you know, sort of a controversial hit. But he did score last game, and I think, you know, at home he wants to close this out, move on to the next series, get the spotlight off him. So Sam Bennett, anytime goal scorer, I'm seeing it like plus 375, plus 350, somewhere in that range.
All right, there you go. Sam Bennett, Florida Panthers, bargain bin special of the night, plus 350 to plus 375 for Matt. And last but not least, Matt, best bet, what do you like?
Yeah, so my best bet is going to be in that later game. Again, I think Edmonton evens the series here. I don't think they go back to Vancouver down 3-1, or at least they know if they do, the series is probably over. Vancouver's playing really well. So I expect their big guns to step up. So I'm going to expect a lot of goals out of Edmonton if they're going to get it done. As you mentioned, it's typically going to be 4-plus goals. So I'm going to take Edmonton team total over 3.5. That's going to be my best bet tonight, and I'm excited for the BetCast. I look forward to seeing you guys a little bit later.
There you go. That's minus 120 for Edmonton team total, over 3.5. Best bet for Matt Robinson. All right, Matt, back to the salt mines for you. We'll see you in a few hours for the BetCast.
See you, boys. I'll have a couple beers ready, so I'm excited.
See you, bud.
Oh. There you go. All right, Matt Robinson, from one brother to another. Ryan, what do you like here? Game 4, Vancouver-Edmonton.
Yeah, I'm excited for this game. You know, I see both sides. I'm kind of torn. You know, I think with the talent that the Oilers have, they certainly don't want to go back to Vancouver down, you know, down big in the series. But at the same time, you know, Vancouver's been pretty solid. They have good depth. The goalie has been playing really well for him. You know, I have some goal scorer props that I like. I think Matt's best bet is a solid, you know, Oilers team total over 3.5. They certainly have the firepower to, you know, they could put up 2 goals in the first period by themselves, easy. They've done it plenty of times. something else that I kind of lean towards is, even if I do, you know, like Vancouver, as you mentioned, maybe putting a little bit on their money line, I think the Oilers will start fast at least. You know, it's kind of, we talked about it, I believe, when I was on the bedcast or on the show last time. You know, McDavid was really quiet in, I can't remember if it was game one or game two, but he had no shots on goal, no points. And we said, next game, he's going to come out, he's going to perform. And that's exactly what he did. He wasn't horrible last game, but, you know, couldn't get the job done. I think it's a similar spot for him where he's going to be flying. He, you know, he knows he has to be his team's best player if they want to win this game and come back in this series. So I think it's a good spot for, you know, his props. But because of that, you know, their big guns, their firepower, I think they're going to want to come out hot, start hot in front of their fans, you know, try and build momentum early. So I'm also possibly looking at that, you know, Edmonton first period puck line or first period money line. You know, I just I think they have to come out hot against this team. You know, they can't afford to have a slow start or take penalties. And, you know, you saw it in game one, too. Maybe Vancouver takes an early penalty, is, you know, undisciplined or whatever. Their power play is pretty lethal. All it takes is, you know, one or two chances. So, yeah, that's mostly what I'm looking at. A couple shot props, a couple goal scorers. I look to the Oilers, you know, big guns to come out hot early. I do also, you know, like Vancouver money line, though. They've been playing well. They're a good team. You know, like my Stars, I think they're deep. They have, you know, they've shown they have some depth. And so, yeah, it's tough for me to pick a side right now. There's a couple small things I'll be on. But then again, just like the last game, I'm going to be looking for some live looks, see how the first 5-10 minutes go. You know, maybe depending on who's up or down going into the third, look at, you know, live overs and stuff like that, empty net props. So it's I think it's a good live game. But yeah, that's mostly what I'm looking at. So
good stuff there. Yeah. As far as, it's a great stat there with, because of course, Carson Soucy is serving his one game suspension for the cross check to the face of Connor McDavid from the end of game three. 27-9-4 with Carson Soucy on the ice, 23-14-5. So that's a pretty noticeable difference. That's 27-13 when you add up the losses, you know, regulation and overtime. 27-13 with Soucy, 23-19 without him. So, you know, that is a little bit of a difference, and they will miss him. He's played well. Ian Cole has not played as well. He's got to step up because he's going to get more minutes tonight. He's had some issues at times defensively. They've won in spite of that, and they have a 2-1 lead in the series in spite of that. Chaos Giraffes actually played well. Noah Juulsen, by the way, is going to get the entry into the lineup on the blue line tonight in place of Soucy. So Noah Juulsen is going to get in for the Canucks. No changes really up front still. Linus Karlsson is still on that second line, and I think there's value on him, you know, because he's up there. The question is, will he produce with it? Lindholm, I think, is worth a look as far as props. I'm just going to stick to Suter as well, just because he's playing with Miller and Besser, and you know, I think at some point the puck might go in for him. Looks like it's still going to be Lafferty, Bluger, and Nils Åman on the fourth line. And then, of course, for Edmonton, there are some lineup changes, especially as far as the forward group is concerned. McDavid and not only Pickard and Nett instead of Skinner, Dreisaitl and McDavid being split up by Chris Knobloch. I think it's not a bad choice. You got to do something. You got to, you know, even things out a little bit in your top six. McDavid will center the top line with Hyman, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins will be alongside McDavid now on that top line. And Dylan Holloway is going to move up to the second line, playing with Dreisaitl and Kane, it looks like tonight. So RNH, there's value. Now, I don't trust this guy always to make the most of these opportunities. He doesn't always do that. But there is value with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and his props tonight being on the top line. And same thing with Dylan Holloway, who's going to get a chance with Dreisaitl and Evander Kane. So definitely some value with those two guys lining up on the left-wing side of the first line and the second line tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. And you know, I've got someone in mind as far as the bargain bin special of the night for this game. You probably already know who that might be, but we'll save it for that segment coming up. In the meantime, again, Patreon live betcast tonight. Make sure you join us 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. Sign up and subscribe for just $10 per month. Patreon.com/iceguys to watch and take part in tonight's live betcast. And in addition to access to the live betcast tonight and all our future Patreon exclusive live betcasts. You'll also get our daily sides, totals, and player props posted on the page each and every day. Goalie charts, totals charts, and more bonus content, including tons of content in the offseason coming up. So make sure you sign up, $10 per month. Don't miss this betcast tonight. Join us there, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And last of all, the Ice Guys store. Make sure you check it out. Get your gear and your merch over at the Ice Guys store, iceguys.myspreadshop.com. All right, we got our bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Boston Hemp Inc., check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. We already got the bargain bin choice from Matt Robinson earlier, Sam Bennett for the Florida Panthers. Ryan, where are you going in the bargain bin for tonight?
Yeah, so I went back and forth on a couple different options. I'll be on all three. I liked Matthew Tkachuk, first goal scorer. In that game, I also like Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid first goal scorer in that game. So I see, those guys are plus 900. I'm seeing Tkachuk is plus 1,000. I'll be on all three. You know, I think Florida, you know, their captain at home is going to want to get his team going. Could definitely see him scoring the first goal of the game. You know, he had 7 shots last game. He's shooting a lot. But I'm going to have to go with my official one. I'm going to go with Connor McDavid. I just think I could definitely see Connor McDavid doing Connor McDavid things, maybe, you know, a coast-to-coast rush or something like that. The other one I liked was Draisaitl, obviously, is if McDavid sets him up for one timer on the power play, I could definitely see that too. But, McDavid is the best player in the world, for a reason. He's going to want to bounce back, not happy about last game, so I really like that look. I think he could get the team going early, and show why he's the best player in the world. So that's my bargain bin special. Connor McDavid, first goal scorer.
There you go. Connor McDavid, Mick Jesus, to get things rolling for the Edmonton Oilers. Plus 950 at FanDuel for him to score the first goal of the game. That is going to be Ryan Robinson with his bargain bin special of the night. My bargain bin special of the night, the Swedish Viking. We're going right back to the well with him. Why not? Look, he scored three goals in three games, a goal in each game so far in this series. And finally, the price is getting adjusted ever so slightly game by game, but you can still get plus 600 at BetMGM, FanDuel, and other places. Matthias Ekholm for the Edmonton Oilers. We're going back to the well, plus 600. He's jumping into the play, shooting the puck. He's been involved in the offense for the Oilers. Right back to it. Matthias Ekholm plus 600 for my bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bets. Ryan, what do you like here tonight for best bet?
Yeah, so my best bet, I'm going to go back to the same game. I lean Oilers early. You know, their superstars want to, you know, carry this team to a victory at home. And get the fans into it early. So yeah, I'm going to go Oilers, puck line, either puck line or money line. I'm seeing, first period puck line plus 130, three-way money line at plus 135. So I guess I'll go, with one of those. I think the Oilers, come out hot, shoot right away, and their best players have to be their best players. And I could definitely see them, getting two, maybe even three goals, like Matt said, in the first period. So that's my best bet of the day. Oilers first period puck line.
All right. Edmonton first period puck line. We can get actually plus 140, plus 144 at some books with that first period puck line for Edmonton. So that is going to be Ryan's best bet. My best bet, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think I've had the over in every game in this series. And I think we've had the over as my best bet for the show multiple times. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And look, I know Pickard probably will give them a chance to have better goaltending tonight, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to keep this below seven goals combined. I mean, it's just been one of those series where both teams have been very opportunistic. Edmonton's going to push the pace, especially early, and if they get the lead, it'll open up even more, and Vancouver can't play shut-it-down hockey. So Vancouver-Edmonton over 6.5, minus 102, that is going to be my best bet here for this Tuesday NHL slate. Betcast tonight. Make sure you join us. Patreon exclusive. So the only way to watch and tune in, sign up, $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. Don't you dare miss the Betcast tonight. We have another Patreon exclusive live Betcast Thursday night as well. So two this week. So make sure you sign up, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 a month to take part in both Betcasts this week. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. For the Brothers Robinson, the law firm edition for the very first time on the show, Matt Robinson and Ryan Robinson, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Tuesday night. We'll see you in a few hours for the Patreon exclusive Stanley Cup Playoffs live betcast. And of course, we're back with another daily edition of the Ice Guys show tomorrow on Wednesday, right here on the Ice Guys.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.